welcome to the Liberty Church podcast. We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the Word of God, you are encouraged and challenged and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
Please don't walk around thinking you're wearing the emperor's new clothes. Sometimes the church think we're sporting something we're not. We're here for Jesus, uncompromisingly, lovingly. We love Jesus. He is King and He is Lord. And there is no other way but Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the bread. He said, I am the door. He said, He's just life. You know what the saddest thing in the world is? When religion has come along and stuffed up the message of who Jesus is. It ain't about your stained glass windows and your perfect looking church and your perfect looking people and your three songs or whatever. It is about an authentic relationship with a Savior who created you and loves you. It is about an authentic relationship. And some of you sit here today and you say, yeah, but I got so many questions. Leah, you prayed for people who had breakthrough and got healing. But what about? What about this person or what about that person? I'm not God. I don't get to decide. But I do get to communicate with Him. God is not our slot machine. God, give me a better life. Jesus is somebody that I laid my life down for. I tried football. I tried becoming a professional there. I tried money. I tried living my life for other things, but I come back all the time because Jesus stands there with loving open arms. And He says, I love you with a passion. You know, and the statement on the screen says, my life reveals my heart. It's so true. Show me your life and I'll show you your future. It's very clear. Very clear. What's incredible, though, is Jesus comes to us in every moment of every day and He says, I'm here if you really want me. I'm here if you really want me. I'm here with arms wide open, not with a judgmental spirit. Jesus didn't die like this. He died like this with arms wide open. And He says, I love you so much that I laid down my life for you. Today, we're going to see people declare with their lives outside. Why do we do baptism publicly? Because it is an outward declaration of an inward decision. Where, do you have to baptize in church on a Sunday? No. I've done it in my bathtub. Hey, guys, we ain't got a swimming pool. Let's just baptize. Baptism is the full submersion, the Bible says. We as a church see nowhere in Scripture that we take an infant and put water on them. We don't do christening. We dedicate our kids to Jesus. We pray for them. But we don't do christening. For me, it's not biblical. We submerge. It's a dying of the old and a coming up of the new. That's what it symbolizes. It said, God, no longer I live for me, I live for you. What's really interesting, I met a guy in the Isle of Man and he was sharing his experience of baptism. And the moment he got baptized he gave his heart to Jesus and he said, I really want to get baptized. He got home and he was really loose with his tongue, eh? Like effing and blinding all the time, you know? And he got home and he got baptized and the next thing he said, that was effing amazing. And his family were like, you're a Christian now. You can't do that. I told you your life wasn't really changed. It's interesting how critical people get because there's this expectation that the world says, now that you believe in Jesus, I'm going to judge your every move. So interesting, isn't it? Every move. You didn't say thank you. You got angry. Do you know what? We're a work in progress. Turn to the person next to you and say, I am a work in progress. Every little day and every little moment, we become a little bit more like Jesus. A little bit more. A little bit more. He doesn't run around effing and blinding now, but it's interesting how judgmental we are. How quick we are. Those of you getting baptized today, do you know what? You'll be picked on. Great. You'll be judged. Young people, you'll go to school and you will have stuff thrown at you maybe. I had it. You know, okay. Jesus was mocked and beaten and spat on and whipped to almost death. If he can face that for me, I can face a little of a bit of abuse from a bunch of kids in school. You know? It happens. Some people will get behind you. Those are getting baptized today. Actually, there's people sitting in here that would say, I wish I had the guts. I wish I had the guts and the determination to say, oh, I'm going to stand up for something that I believe in. We've got a world that sways. Brexit, no Brexit. We've got a bunch of politicians who can't make up their mind. We've got a bunch of leaders who kind of go, you know what, stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You literally will. Bible says that winds of doctrine come through the church. They come through this world. One time we're like this, and now we're like this. You better wear a hat to church. You better not wear a hat to church. You better dress like this. You better stand like this. Better not stand like this. Don't raise your hands. Do raise your hands. Do you know what? When I am passionately in love with something, I give my all. Everything. This afternoon, there will be a bunch of nutters across that side of the water, absolutely screaming at a television, going crazy for a bag of air with 22 guys in there, jumping in front of the television, screaming at it, thinking the greatest players in the world and all refs or whatever they are. And we will not declare or care a monkeys because we'll think that is normal. It's normal. It's normal that there's going to be 60,000 people in a stadium screaming. Do you know what? That is normal, church, by now, that we worship our King with everything we have. Every single thing. All in. All in. All in. I give my life. I give my all. We've sung that hymn before. But three things I want to touch on this morning, and I want to read you one scripture, and I'll be about 10 minutes or so. And then we get the guys in, and we're going to have a great time. And we're going to eat burgers as well, so I'm pretty pumped about that. I hope you brought your money. If not, we have got an iZettle card. We can take card. It's no problem. But my life reveals my heart. Today, people will declare outwardly what they believe inwardly. I do Christianity silent. What is that? We don't live in a nation where we have to. Neither do I stand on the street corner and scream and yell at you. I just let my life declare. This is Jesus. Three things: identity, standards, and worship. Today, those of you getting baptized or those of you who've given your life to Jesus, these are the three of the things that get attacked by people around. Your identity gets attacked. People start to question, who are you? Our identity as a nation is under attack. Everybody is so confused who they are. They are so confused. We're handing papers to our kids in schools now, asking them to choose from 49 different things that they could be. Why? You see, because the spirit of Babylon comes along and shifts what God's spirit is. Why is our world in a mess? Because we're trying to wash ourselves with something that's not of God. We literally are. And we turn around and say, there's chaos. Why is it chaos? Because we've gone away from the one who created us, the one who called us, the one who predestined us, the one who said, I love you so much. And our intellect rages and said, yeah, but God, you need to fit in my box. And God, we've got to be in God. Do you know all my passion is that you're introduced to a relationship with Jesus. The Holy Spirit will do the rest in you. When I came to know Jesus, there were certain things that I was angry with God about. How dare you, God? Do you know what? My pastor didn't scream at me. He just left me. And the Holy Spirit started to deal with these things. But your identity will come under attack, who you are. If you're part of the Church of Jesus Christ and you believe that you are a son and daughter of God, and everybody actually is until you accept His and realize He's forgiven you as well, you will be questioned on who you are. But in this day, church, you need to know who you are. We are meant to be the shining light of the world. We're meant to point to Jesus. We sure as heck better know who we are. In Christ, you better know what you've been gifted to do. If not, find out. Find where you fit in the body and what God is going to use you in this moment to do. But we have so many insecurities around who we are. Facebook is littered with them. You know, my edited life. Let me show you a bit of my life that you get to see. Come and dwell with me and you saw my life. Your identity is come under question. Your standards shift when you come to Jesus. It's incredible what happens when you accept Jesus into your heart. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, I don't get this, I don't fully understand it, how God himself can come and reside in me. Me, a messed up vessel like me. I'm flawed. Yesterday, this guy walked across my path and I did not have great thoughts towards him. I was like, buddy, what are you doing? You've just walked in my way. I'm trying to pick up some ice creams in Tesco. And got angry. Why? So I'm flawed. And all of you pointing the finger at me going, jeez, if you're perfect, come talk to me. But our standards will rise. They do, because when you've got the Spirit of God living inside you, he convinces you, number one, of who you are, but he also convicts you and says, that's not how we treat people. That's not how we live this life. We love people well. And please don't mistake love for like, let me hug you, let me kiss you, and everything you do is okay. It's not okay. If you love your kids, there is times when you discipline them. No, this is not how we do this. But there are times you encourage them. There are times when you play with them. There are times when you run and scream with them. There are times when you go, do you know what? It's 5 minutes before bed. Mom's not here. Let's go and eat more ice cream. Okay, none of you have ever done that before. Jeez, you want to get a bit of a life. You know? Break out a little bit. Just like, woo, it's quite exciting. There are times you do things that are just a bit out there. But as parents, you're helping to raise healthy adults, helping to input into them that actually it's not, oh, I want to do what I want to do. Somebody said to me the other day, it's all about freedom. Let's get free. Follow that thought of absolute freedom. I can do whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. Follow it in your head. The worst of the worst person can do whatever he wants, and you and me can do nothing about it. Freedom. It's not absolute freedom. It's freedom in Christ. Jesus, you called me to love people well. Do you know how I can love people well? When I understand that he loves me well. Because I run out of love very quickly. My patience runs out really quickly. But when my source is love itself, you're not going to run out. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But your standards will rise. And the third thing is your worship. You know, this week the M4's been blocked. Amen. You know, and Ed went to the toilet twice last night, according to the BBC, during his gig and show. I mean, that is big news. No, big news. But the stadium in Cardiff is packed out with 60,000 people for four nights or something like that. Why are those 60,000 people gone? Some have gone because they enjoy his music. And he's a great musician, Ed Sheeran. You can't deny that. And he's got great skill and great gifting and all that. Fantastic. But some have gone to worship. Some have gone there because actually, I love Ed Sheeran. I worship him. It doesn't matter which side of the cross you sit, whether you reject Jesus or you accept him, you will worship something or somebody. It's clear. Oh, I don't. Yeah, you do. Everybody worships something or someone. Some of you have elevated your spouse to that place. I worship them. They're everything. Some of you elevate money to that place. Your possessions. All sorts of things. Some of you want to fight for injustice, and that's more your worship than anything else. And so when you come to Jesus, it's a question of, where's your heart? What are you worshiping? And that's a question for us as the church, and you who don't know Jesus, maybe in this place, you think, actually, what am I worshiping? What am I giving my life to? Somebody once said, you can often tell what you worship by the time you spend in your bank balance. You know? It's true in some ways. What do I worship? I put myself in so much debt so I can have the biggest house because I need to have the biggest house. And one day all those things will fade away and become nothing. And we'll stand just with people. Let me see if I can do this. Let me read the scripture to you as we bring this to a close. We're going to baptize people today. And that's submerging them in water. And they come out of the water. And they're going to be pretty excited when they come out. You know, somebody said to me, do you have to be baptized if you're a Christian, if you've given your life to Jesus? My actual question is, why would you not want to be baptized? I don't see why not. But if you haven't and you would like to, you can do it today. It's no problem. We can get you in there. But why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I want to declare with my life that I belong to him? But this is Jesus' baptism. You think, why did Jesus get baptized? Perfect, spotless, blameless. You see, because he always said, I do what my Father tells me to do. The Bible is clear. Get baptized. It's not really it's very clear. Get baptized. And I know some people say, well, I'm a little bit nervous standing up here. Oh, I understand that. You know, today my son's getting baptized. I am pretty pumped about that. You know, and you don't clap for me, clap for Jesus, because I think there is my 9-year-old son. Ooh, can he understand? He knows who Jesus is. And when he came to me and said, Dad and Mom, I want to get baptized. I said, why do you want to get baptized, son? He said, remember when we were on holiday, Pops did a story with me and started to talk about Jesus. And we sat down and started to unpack who Jesus was. And I prayed with him. And then 2 days later, I remember him praying with us and saying, Jesus, won't you come in my heart? You know, childlike faith, not childish. Some of you are 50 years in age. Be childlike, but not childish. Two different things. Some of you have been in the church for 30, 40 years, and we're still acting like children, still wiping nappies and cleaning bums, when actually let's be childlike in what we believe, but not childish. You know, I don't like him. I don't like him. What the heck? This is not the church. Let's grow up and mature. Anyway, back to the point here. And my son is there. And he's praying, and he's like, I want to give my heart to Jesus. And he's given his heart, and me and Leah are like, this is so cool. Our 9-year-old boy, and something shifts in his life. All of a sudden, his language that comes out of him and how he addresses things, his heart starts to shift. I'm like, whoa, I live with this kid. I love him regardless, but I live with him. And some of the challenges he's beginning to face now, because the enemy's going, gee whiz, I did not think a 9-year-old boy would live for Jesus. I've got to convince him somehow that this is not the way. And so, church, you're going to face adversity, trials. Just, it is part of the deal. It's not come to Jesus and just have a great time. And then he said to me, I want to get baptized. Everything inside of me actually was like, I'm not sure, Noah. He said, I'll talk to Graham. It's wisdom, isn't it? See, I don't want to stand here before you today as my son goes up there and you think I've convinced him to get baptized. Spoke to Graham. Graham asked him, why do you want to get baptized, Noah? And he starts to share. And this is Jesus. There's a guy called John the Baptist. You may have heard of him. He's a bit of a crazy guy. Ate locusts. Lived out in the wilderness. Out there in the bush somewhere. We got a few. Matthew 3, 13 to 17. Then Jesus went from Galilee to Jordan River to be baptized. I'm going to be baptized. You guys are going to baptize today. You've decided I'm going to be baptized today. But John tried to talk him out of it. Why? He says, I am the one. This is John speaking to Jesus. Like, Jesus, you are the Savior of the world. You're the King of Kings. You've come to rescue us. I am the one who needs to actually be baptized by you. So why are you coming to me? Jesus replies to him, John, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. God said it's going to be this way. The Father in heaven, so it's going to be this way. So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, so Jesus gets in the water. He goes under, comes up. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved son who brings me joy, in whom I am well pleased. Why was he well pleased, the Father? Up until this time, Jesus was 30 years of age at this time. He had not performed a miracle. You don't actually read much about what he had done. He had an earthly father who he had maybe done a bit of carpentry with and hang out. And he had grown up. But in all that time, he had followed what God had said. You know why God said, I'm well pleased? is because he values our obedience. He really does. Well, we don't say that word nowadays. You know, we want to make it nice for everybody, okay for everybody. No, he values our obedience. There are times when obedience is called for. Why? Because that Father in heaven and that Savior Jesus and that Holy Spirit know your life better than you do. And they come not to destroy you, they come actually to uplift you. They come not to pull you down, they come to give you life. They take your ashes and they give you beauty. They take your mourning and they give you joy. But as a world, we're taught, no, 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 no. It's my intellect. I know the best way. It's my thoughts. I will figure it out on my own, as a recluse, without anybody else. And the gospel comes and says, no, we have a loving Savior who created you, who molded you, who shaped you, who says you have a plan and a purpose, who have a destiny, who has a future ahead of you that you have never, ever dreamed or seen before, because your life matters. And so today, we're going to get the kids back in a moment. You guys can grab them. The boys at the back are ready to grab those kids. They're going to come in and be a part of this. We're going to baptize some people. We've asked them if they love Jesus, because you can't baptize somebody if you don't love Jesus. This is not a social event. You know, it's not a christening. It ain't just a, this is serious. It's a celebration. But we've asked them, do they love Jesus? And they've come and they said, yeah, I love Jesus. Some of them will be a little nervous today because you guys look scary, you know. Looking at you, you're like, whoa. Some of you look at me like, you know, with funny faces and stuff. I just look above you just for the moment. But I just want to pray. And I want you to know, I don't know where you sat today. I don't know everybody's story. I want you to know that there's a Savior that died for you. And his name is Jesus. And he loves you. And you're never too far gone that he can't reach you. If he can reach a kid like me, and last night we heard if he can reach a bunch of drug addicts and alcoholics like them, and he can rescue them, and he can rescue some of the most horrendous places, he can rescue you as well. But our pride gets in the way. Our pride gets in the way. So let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for this morning. And I thank you, God, that you absolutely love us with a passion.